After the Eclipse, written by Fran Doricott, and read by Nicola Stevenson and Ainsley Howard.
Prologue, 11th of August, 1999. The day she became a local legend, Olive Warren did not do as she was told. Normally, a well-behaved child, and as unlike her sister as it was possible to be, Olive hated to be told off. She liked quiet things, libraries, dinosaur bones in museums, her model of the solar system. People told her it was odd, but she figured if she wanted to be a curator or even an astronaut, then liking rules and silence was probably a good thing. Still, staying with Gran in the summer was never the same as being back at home in Derby, especially when her older sister was in charge. Rules were bendy and punishments were non-existent. And anyway, this was an extra special day. She'd been looking forward to the solar eclipse for weeks and she wasn't going to miss it because her big sister was too busy with her new friend. She'd counted down on her calendar, ticking off the days until the event, even when Cassie made fun of her. When the day arrived, they went to Chestnut Circle, the centre of Bishop's Green Universe. There was a big party. The town seemed more alive than Olive had ever seen it. Thrumming with a sense of possibility, Olive had been excited at the thought of all the people in town coming together to watch the eclipse. But the reality was overwhelming. The crowd was too thick, and although there was a stage and children playing party games, she couldn't see any of what was happening. Some kid won a large cuddly unicorn, and all Olive saw was the rainbow mane and a spindly golden horn. The music was too loud. Olive longed to be back at Gran and Grandad's house, perhaps sitting on the roof outside the bedroom she shared with Cassie. She wished people would quiet down and just wait. Olive followed the minute hand on her watch. The main part of the eclipse was supposed to happen at 10 past 11, but what if she couldn't see it? Cassie and her friend, Marion, were hanging back in the little alley next to the corner shop, their heads bent together, totally oblivious to everything. They were whispering, their noses almost touching, completely ignoring Olive. It had been like this between them for days now, but today was worse because Marion was meant to be going on holiday soon and neither of them wanted her to go. Olive decided she didn't mind if Marion went. At least, then, she wouldn't have to share Cassie. Olive's frustration boiled in her stomach as she watched them. She couldn't decide whether to do it, to stretch Cassie's one rule, stay in sight. Her body was tense with the idea that she didn't have to do what Cassie said all the time. Olive, stand still, will you? Gran said you're meant to stay near me, Cassie called. Olive sighed. She'd only been trying to get a better view. She couldn't see anything, least of all the sky, through the awning above the shop. They weren't here for Cassie to get all moony with the policeman's daughter. Cassie had even been grumpy when Olive went into the shop for a can of Coke, even though she was only gone for a minute and Gran had given her the money for it. It wasn't fair. In that moment, Olive decided she was going to break the rules, not just bend them. It was only going to be once, and it wasn't going to be for very long. The crowd was pressing in on her, making her palms sweaty. Even though nobody touched her, she felt breathless. She just needed to see better. She needed what Gran called a vantage point. Olive knew Folly Hill from the picnic her Gran and Grandad had taken them on the summer before. It wasn't far, maybe a mile. Olive was good at walking. She enjoyed it. And Olive knew that from the hill, she'd have a view to die for as the sun shimmered into darkness.